and hopefully in about 15 minutes or less, you'll be finished that portion. Okay?
Yeah, I'll flip this over so we can look at all this stuff too.
So,
Kilolins, your liquids.
Yeah. A, B, E,
E, F,
G,
H,
H. That's it.
Yeah, so yeah, A, B, and all these.
I mean, to measure the liquid is mostly specific. This is graduated cylinder transfer bypass burette. This is because these are also these have scales. They're not accurate. So my guess is that this is.
It depends on how accurately we're trying.
How accurately we do.
Well, it doesn't mention accuracy.
Accuracy doesn't mention, but I think you're right. So I think yes, they have scales, so that means they can be measurable.
Yeah.
But normally, what we do in the laboratory.
These are accurate. Like I just make a note that you can measure with A and B, but you're not going to get the accuracy.
Right.
Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay.
A, B.
So we'll be from the most accurate. So we'll be.
Yeah. E, F, G, and H are the accurate ones.
These are 111s.
And then,
if
you want to say A and B,
A and B count. It doesn't make any reference to accuracy.
But I just think that measurable are these.
What is the question?
Do you think would be used to measure liquids?
You can measure liquids with A and B. It doesn't mention accuracy, so that's not relevant.
But this is for measuring. We think measuring a liquid, so it could be even could be very accurate, like with these pipettes, burettes, or this is exactly because this is volumetric. So
okay, but what if you have a 100 mil volumetric and it says to measure out approximately 50 mils? Is that going to be helpful?
No, it's not. No.
Right,
yes, that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Now, the question just says, which pieces of equipment would be useful in measuring out liquids? Doesn't say anything about accuracy or precision or anything like that. So I'm just making an observation here. But, as you're walking around, you're going to see these same kinds of questions. Your students are going to, pick things that may or may not be appropriate. So your role as a facilitator, at least as you're going around, is not necessarily to tell them, that's not right. Let them kind of think through this process, and as they discuss it, they're going to come up with some of these issues. Let them work it out and see what criteria they think are important based on the question.
No, I know. Because the next question is what features do you have in your risk at the common?
They all have the measurement markings on there for a specific volume.
I'm sure at least, yes, that's correct.
Well, then I think you should include A and B then,
scales.
Because they also have measurement markings. Otherwise, you couldn't answer question B if you didn't include A.
Like, these do have it in common, regardless of what the other ones have. So,
we will say all these common have scales.
Yeah.
So you're not putting A and B.
Scales.
I mean, I would put A and B in there. I'd put a subcategory for lack of accuracy.
But if they didn't, they have tick marks on them.
See, but there are more questions about did you include item K, site R, in
your list? But that doesn't have any markings. It's just a.
Did you include why or why not? There's no scale.
If you say there's no scale, then you can't use that argument to say that A and B are not on the list.
Yeah.
That's my point.
But there is a difference between the scale and between the measurement equipment. Although this can have a scale, it is just approximate. If you dilute to volume, you use them for titration. So you need 50 ml to titrate.
Yeah, well, if you're not titrating,
does question A?
If you need an excess amount of acid or something.
Does question A say list all the items you should measure accurately?
We're still debating that first one.
Well, because this gentleman wants to include A and B.
Because it's a confounding factor you're adding. You're saying accurately. It doesn't say accurately. It just says measure.
It just says measuring.
And it doesn't even say measuring precisely.
Yeah. There's,
so, yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you interpret that?
Yeah. I would interpret as including A and B just because there's that approximation on there.
There's no reference to precision or accuracy.
Yeah, based on that, I mean, you can measure it, but you won't achieve the same.
You guys may be overthinking this. Remember, these are freshmen.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, these are the kinds of questions that will come up from time to time. So I'll talk about some of the issues.
Let's just skip that for now, and we'll debate that later. In sidearm flask, no, we did not include it. There's no scale on there for any measurements.
Which item would you use to measure out solid?
Spatula.
Right, spatula solid.
So there's no.
Solid and crucible.
Yeah, you can use a
crucible. Well, yeah, if you tear it on the.
Right. So just general two solids will be I and D. Okay, which item?
Well, I mean, you could also use like filter paper and stuff too.
But that's not on the list.
Yeah, no.
Which item would you use to contain a liquid solution while heating?
Erlenmeyer.
Well, I mean, it depends on. I mean, you could use A or B. It depends on what the purpose of heating it is.
Well, you can put more than one.
Yes, A and B.
Don't overthink it. Just
work. Which item would you use to contain a solid while heating?
Well, if it's strictly a solid, I'd go with the crucible.
You could do an Erlenmeyer flask too. I mean, like a precipitate.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it depends on the situation. If you're, if you're trying to like dissolve the salt in the liquid.
Right. Yeah. But I think this is inclusive of whatever situations.
Yeah.
Why do you think the tanks would be useful in the chemistry lab?
Handling hot glassware. I kind of doubt we're going to use dry ice in these labs. Yeah.
Okay, so I think we are done.
Which one? Okay, yeah.
How do we do the next page?
We just do number one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you guys all done?
Yes.
Okay. All right, guys, 2 minutes to finish up.
I'm sorry about the failure, but you know, because now there are more questions about A and B.
Yeah, but I mean, if you answer C that way, you can't answer A the way you did. That's just a fact.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say when we're presenting, I just kind of make a point of.
But I mean, if you didn't include something because it didn't have tick marks, then why wouldn't you include A and B? That's all.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I mean, it's like he said, it doesn't say, like, you know, what we use to measure it accurately or precisely or anything. It's just what we use to measure it.
Mm-hmm. This is just a run through anyway.
If you're making solutions, you've got to.
Everybody done? Okay. Now, when you're doing this in your laboratory, this portion where they work through the model and they answer the questions, and you're going around kind of just looking over their shoulder, should take no more than about 10 to 15 minutes. It took us about a little less than 10. Okay. Now, what comes next is the most important part. But as you're walking around, some students may have questions. Questions will come up. One group may interpret a particular question differently than another group. You're not giving them answers. The whole point of this exercise is for them to evaluate you know, the questions and the model that they're working with, establish among themselves through their own discussion what criteria are important, how do you interpret this, why would you interpret it this way versus that way. So try to avoid the temptation to give them an answer. Maybe a better way to approach it is if they come to you with a question, rather than answering the question by giving them a specific answer, you may want to point out to them, well, right, if you read this part of the question again, is there another way of looking at this? Or point them in a direction or ask them another question that points them in the right direction, try to get them to evaluate it in maybe a more appropriate fashion, or maybe to point something out that they may not have seen before. Don't give them answers. Give them the information or point them in the direction that they need to be going for them to find the answers themselves. Okay, that's the critical part of your role as a facilitator, as you're walking around looking over their shoulder.
Let's say one group adds one piece of glassware or something when you're grading. If they can explain as to why, and you can see that the thought process is there, do you just go ahead and say, yeah, that's acceptable, or is that your discretion?
Well, okay, first of all, some of the questions that you will have here will have, not, maybe not in this particular exercise, but
yeah,
other exercises,
yes,
there are some where the answer will be yes or no, this is right and this is not. But what we're going to do next is we're going to go through this step by step, question by question. And you will do this when you, once you they've had a chance to work as groups, then you're going to go through the worksheet with them. So for example, list all the items in question A that you think would be used to measure liquid. So group one, who's the presenter in group one? Okay, what's one of the items that you had?
Beaker.
Okay, you had beakers, okay? Anybody, what did you guys have?
We have, for the measurements, we have volumetric flask, burette trans.
Okay, you don't have to give me all of them. I'm just asking for one.
For one volumetric flask.
Okay, so you have beakers, volumetric flasks. You guys are going to have five or six different groups. So if you go around and just give each of the groups a chance to give their input as to what they had, if you've gone through and the list may be other things to say, well, did anybody have anything else that we haven't mentioned yet? So give people a chance to provide their answers. And when you think you've got a complete list, all right, then the next question would be, what features do all of these items have in common? What did you guys have for that?
Yeah, they all had like some sort of measurement tick scale.
They all have some kind of gradation, some way of providing an indication of exactly how much material, not exactly, providing information of how much material you have.
Yes.
Right?
That's
how about you?
That's all we have.
That's all you have?
Okay. Well, I mean, they're all made out of glass, but that's sure, doesn't matter.
It'll put a touch on.
But one of the things that came up in this group that may or may not come up when your students are looking at this is a question or discussion of accuracy and precision. Okay. Now, when you get to question B, what all of them had in common, what the people picked in their list, they all have some kind of graduated scale on them to indicate volumes. So you have an approximate idea of how much is there. It didn't ask anything about the level of precision required in measuring these volumes. So some people may be overthinking this, and this is a good opportunity for you to point out, right? When you're in the lab, you're going to be working with equipment, some of which has very precise gradation, some of which does not. Under what circumstances would this piece of equipment be more appropriate than that? It depends upon the level of precision required for your measurement. If you're doing a lab and it says, add approximately 50 mils of water to your reaction solution, you don't have to be measuring it with a volumetric flask. You don't have to be measuring it with a burette. Okay? So the level of precision or the glassware that they use in the lab is designed for specific purposes. And this is a good way for them to recognize that there are differences.